విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంగ స్వామినిధి నామినే సరస్వతీ దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషూన్యవాదీ పశ్చాదశతారిణే సరస్వతీ దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషూన్యవాదీ పశ్చాదశతారిణే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్యా ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధర శివ కవి గోవర్ధనవంద జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధర శివ కవి గోవర్ధనవంద జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధర శివ కవి గోవర్ధనవంద జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధర శివ కవి గోవర్ధనవంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ రమ రామ హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jay Radha Madhava Jay Kunj Bihari
Jay Radha Madhava
Jay Kunj Bihari
Jay
Radha Madhava Jay Kunj Bihari Jay Radha Madhava Jay Kunj Bihari Jay Govind Navya Bha Jay Girivare Dhari Jay Girivare Dhari Jaya Govindana Vallabha Jaya Girivare Dhari Jaya Girivare Dhari Jaya Govindana Vallabha Jaya Girivare Dhari Jaya Girivare Dhari Jaya Govindana Vallabha जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय किशोरनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जना यमुना तीर वन जाति यमुना तीर वन जाति यमुना तीर वन जाति जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण हरे
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा गोकुल नंद राधा गोकुल नंद राधे जय राधा गोकुल नंद राधा गोकुल नंद राधे जय राधा गोकुल नंद राधा गोकुल नंद राधे जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय జయ గౌరనితాయ జయ గౌరనితాయ జయ గౌరనితాయ జయ గౌరనితాయ జయ ప్రభుపదా 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 ప్రభుపా జయ జయ ప్రభుపా జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభిచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్టోమి శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రజగాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతపడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరి భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోవగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమని ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద నమాంశపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదానంద స్వామిని దీనామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుమిళితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాదిం స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సవధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంచగల్పదరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధూభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణ మునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం నమోస్తు దే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే హుల్లారవిందాయ తమత్ర నేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారత తైల పూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపా ప్రపన్న పారిజాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസജാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാപി കർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുത സ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർവേദൈർ സംഗമദേ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദഗ്ഗദേന മനസ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസ്സുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. From the opulences of the Absolute, Krishna's different opulences we were discussing last Sunday, and we saw that particularly the four verses beginning with Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo onwards, they are considered to be very key verses in that particular chapter, in chapter 10. So after the first 11 verses, Arjuna has spoken to Krishna of his realization at that time, what Arjuna has realized. That's where we stopped. But before we continue, we should look at one or two serious points Prabhupada has mentioned in the previous verses. So on verse 10, on the purport, Prabhupada says there that in verse 10, in the first paragraph, Prabhupada is saying, Buddhi Yogam itself is action Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. And when one tries to go back home, back to Krishna, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called Buddhi Yogam. So sometimes in Bhagavad Gita, you will find different words used, although refers to the same thing. Like Krishna consciousness is the word what Rupa Goswami has started, Krishnavabhodhanam, which Prabhupada has translated into English as Krishna consciousness. But in the Bhagavad Gita, you don't find it as Krishna consciousness or Krishnavabhodham. Rather, the words used are bhakti or buddhi yogam. In different circumstances, in different ways, it is mentioned. But it is one and the same thing. How to develop attachment for Krishna. That is the goal of all the processes. In the next paragraph, one after that, Prabhupada says, a person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. This is a very important statement there. Important in the sense, often people misunderstand that just being attached to an organization, everything is taken care of. Or just being attached to a spiritual master, everything is taken care of. No, it is not. There is a large input required from the person also, from the devotee. And in the Mahabharatam it is explained in one way, and the other Upanishads also the same thing is spoken. The input from the spiritual master, strictly speaking, in the traditional way, it is only the 25% which comes from the spiritual master. Instructions from the spiritual master is 25%. 25% is from the Shastram. Another 25% is from the association with other devotees and one's own endeavor. And the last 25% is Krishna's. So you can see, everything is necessary in spiritual life. You can't reject any side of it, because all that is a part of the process. For a devotee who wants to go back home to Krishna, he has to keep all the instructions in the Shastram right always in the mind. That Prabhupada is saying here, that one should not take it for granted that just because I am attached to an organization or I am initiated by a spiritual master, I am now crossed the ocean of material life. No, that doesn't happen like that. The majority of the effort is required from the devotee, from the person who has come to the spiritual progress. But what Prabhupada is saying here is that in certain situations, if one does not feel enthused by the organization or by the spiritual master, even in such situation, if the devotee is sincerely trying to perfect himself, Krishna will give him the intelligence, provided he is sincere in his endeavor. That is an important point. That is why that verse also said that Tesham Sadada Yuktanam Vajadam Priti Purvagam Dadami Buddhiyogam Dam Yenamam Upayandide. That Buddhiyogam, that intelligence for the devotee, because it can happen in this world, in spite of your, especially in this modern age where everything is very much mixed up. In other words, so therefore very difficult to know what is happening is true or not, or proper or not. People have gone far away from the spiritual way of life. It's very much influenced. Material life is the priority or the predominating factor of life. As long as it's like that, and that spiritual culture has completely vanished from the world. So, but even in that situation, Krishna has given an opportunity for the devotee that even if he has not got the opportunity to have a spiritual master or an organization to work with, as long as he is sincere in his Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says here, Krishna will give the proper intelligence for him to come back to him. That is Krishna's special mercy. That is Krishna's special mercy. And then, two sentences after that, Prabhupada again writes there, if a devotee is intelligent enough, he will make progress on the path of self-realization. So, what does that intelligence mean? Intelligence means, in order the ability to understand about spiritual life in the proper way and to follow through that process, that is intelligence. To understand the spiritual life in the proper way and to follow through that process. So that requires a lot of discrimination all the time, and that requires intelligence. Intelligence means to discriminate things. So if one who comes to spiritual life, he is never a loser as long as he is sincere in his path of spiritual life. In the next verse, you will see in the purport, Prabhupada saying there, that there are, that is in the first paragraph, in the middle of the first paragraph, there are very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literature or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So, it can happen in this world. It seems that Prabhupada was also aware that these situations could happen in one's life. That and there are many learned scholars who have put forward this theory of devotion, on the philosophy of devotion.
And even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So there is no need for any disappointment. Krishna consciousness is not something dependent on anybody. It is purely dependent on the devotee who has the desire to serve Krishna and to love Krishna. So that is why in the Bhagavatam, in the beginning itself, Vedavyas makes it very, very clear that in the, you can see that Ahaituki apradihada yenalma samprasidati. That apradihadam, apradihadam means which one has no impediments. It flows like that. For a devotee who has come to Krishna, nothing can stop him from going back home, back to Krishna. Nothing can stop him because he is determined in his mind to go back to Krishna. And Krishna wants him as much as he wants to go back to Krishna. There is an interesting story behind this point, what is mentioned here. Once one person who was living in an ashram, he went and joined the ashram. And as usual, when he comes to join the ashram, he is not fully fixed up in his mind what he wants to do. And he is driven by all the other the formalities or the programs at the ashram. That's what he is used to. He stays there for some time observing different things. Because when one joins any spiritual organization, that is how it is in the beginning. So he was living in this ashram and for quite some time. And he hasn't got completely used to the system in the ashram. Unfortunately, in the ashram, there was not very much encouragement from anybody. He just joined the ashram and he kept asking questions. Now and then he got some answers from some people. Often he didn't. So he was a bit confused about it. But at the same time, he has a strong desire for spiritual life. That was in his heart. Maybe it has come from the previous lifetimes. The vasana has followed him. So what happened was that he was not used to all the prayers in the temple. What was some? Because you go to any ashram in this world, every ashram has its own prayers and its own way of worshipping and the formalities, what they follow. So it's different. So he was not fully used to the whole system in the ashram. And by then, suddenly one day, there was some urgency of collecting some materials from the forest for the ashram. This was a proper ashram in the village, where there was not like the modern ashrams in these days when everything is so different. We call it ashram, but sometimes it's more modern than the many other institutions in this world. So, but anyway, this particular ashram in the village, very much interior, so he had to collect in the ashrams for the different ceremonies. They wanted darbha grass and kusha and so many other ingredients from the forest. So he went to the forest to collect all that. So his intention was to come back by evening. And by the time he was in the forest, he collecting all these different things, it started raining heavily. So he took shelter underneath a tree, underneath a huge tree. He sat there. He thought, let the rain stop and then I'll carry all the things back to the ashram. While sitting there, the rain continued, it never stopped. So he just sat there and he suddenly dozed off and slept off there. You can imagine, brahmachari, first thing. Secondly, brahmacharis has been told not to take too much prasadam also. And so all the early austerities, getting up early in the morning, all these things he was not used to so much. He was used to sleeping very well before. But now that he has to get up early hours in the morning in the ashram and a whole day program, he was getting a bit exhausted. So he just slept off underneath the tree. After a while, suddenly he woke up and he realized that it was quite late. And it was the time for the evening prayers in the ashram. It's time for the evening prayers in the ashram. So he thought himself that he used to carry a book with him, with all the prayers in that. You must have seen sometimes devotees have books with them in them. They keep studying all the verses of the different prayers, and so that they can chant when they join the prayers. So this devotee, he has not taken the book with him. His plan was to come back to the ashram by evening for the evening prayers. So he didn't take the book with him. But it was time for the evening prayers. And he was feeling very guilty inside. In his mind he was feeling guilty. Oh, I miss my prayers in the evening. He thought what to do. He cannot remember any of the verses. But he knows that it was the time for the prayers. So you know what he did? He sat there. And he said to Krishna, like this, he openly spoke to Krishna like this. He said, I don't know the prayers, anything. I haven't studied any of these prayers. So what I can do now is, I will spell all the letters in the alphabet. You put it together, whichever way it is to be done. I don't know anything. All I can do is that much. This is my capacity. He pleaded like this to Krishna and said to him, he recited all the alphabet properly, which he knew of course. And then he said to Krishna that, put these alphabets together, because after all, what are his prayers? There's also alphabets to put together. So his mind thought of this way of doing that prayer in that evening. Krishna thought, this is a very interesting devotee. So far, no one has prayed to me in this way, with the alphabets. In the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavadam, you will notice all the letters, among all the letters, Krishna says, I am the letter A, isn't it? Aksharanam akarosmi. I am akaram, Krishna says. The letter A is me, Krishna says. So, in other words, one who knows the importance of letters, he will appreciate these things. We won't know. We will think that it is funny, isn't it? That a person has prayed like this. But Krishna saw his sincerity, number one. Secondly, the sound of letters has a very important part in the Vedic system, because the whole Vedas are nothing but Shabdam. Shabda Pramanam it is, isn't it? Shabdam is what it is. So, Shabdam causes, and Shabdam is what? All these different letters pronounced in different forms, different patterns. That's what it. So, Tum hi brahmaiva sakshal paramuru magaran aksharanam akarastaro mandreshu rajnya manurasi munisho tum bhragar naradobi prahlado danavanam surabhijava shishor. In the Bhagavatam, while referring to this, that aksharanam akarastaro mandreshu rajnyam manurasi munishu tum bhragur naradovim. That aksharanam akaram, akaram is Krishna. So there Krishna felt that the devotee is sincere. What was lacking, that he did not knew the prayers. So what? He has spoken the prayers. Krishna has accepted it as the prayers were spoken by the devotee. Krishna has accepted that prayer. So, and Krishna has mentioned this to the demigods, that this prayer is acceptable to me. So, aksharam or letters, their importance, we don't know. But those who know the importance of letters, they know the value of letters. We'll come to that later, much more about that. In the deity worship process, letters are everything. Letters are used for all the explanations of all the Vedic mantras. Mantras are nothing but letters combined by the rishis, or the sages have found them out through these letters. The potency of these letters they have found out. That is why they are called mantra drashtava. Drashtava means one who has invented the potency of the letters of the mantra. Mantra means these letters, and drashtava means one who has invented them. So they have got that realization, and they have given to us through their all the Vedic hymns. So, after these 11 verses, as I mentioned before, Arjuna spoke to Krishna. What did he say? Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adideva Majam Vibham Ahustvamushaya Sarve Devarshi Naradastada Asito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Jaiva Bravishime. So these two verses Arjuna spoke to Krishna. These two verses Arjuna spoke to Krishna. You will see there a big difference in the Arjuna's mood. Arjuna is slowly winding down now. He's not bound up anymore. He's winding down by hearing about Krishna's glories. That is what has happened to to Arjuna. Actually, all these things are not so difficult to understand, as long as we understand the process a little bit deeper. Just like, what is bhakti? Bhakti, always people ask this question, what is bhakti? What is devotion means? Devotion, and in the Bhagavatam, in a very, very, clever way, it has been expressed in the Bhagavatam, in a very, very clever way. Because if we keep these two few principles very deeply in our heart, immediately we can judge every situation on the basis of that and understand whether it is bhakti or not bhakti, whether it is jnanam or not jnanam. This is possible to know that. For example, if we look at the prayers of Rishabhadev in the Bhagavatam, Rishabhadev says there that janasya mohoyam aham mameti, aham mameti, that janasya mohoyam aham mameti, that while instructing his 100 children, Maharaj Rishabhadev, he had 100 children. One day he called all of them together and decided to instruct them about spiritual knowledge. Later on, you will find in the Bhagavad Gita, while talking about vibhutis of Krishna, Krishna says, of all the knowledge in the world, I am spiritual knowledge. You see? Adhyalpa vidya vidyayam. Of all the vidya, I am adhyalpa vidya. He didn't say, I am physics, or I am chemistry, or I am mathematics. No. He says, adhyalpa vidya vidyayam. Of all the knowledge in the world, I am spiritual knowledge, Krishna says. From there itself, Krishna has rejected this material understanding of life. Straight away, Krishna rejects that. Very boldly, Krishna says that, adhyalpa vidya vidyayam. So this adhyalpa vidya, or spiritual knowledge, is me, Krishna says. So our Rishabhadev, who was incarnation of Krishna, he decided to instruct, and all the great personalities in the past, they don't instruct about material knowledge to anybody. That is not in their agenda at all. Material knowledge, what is this big deal about material knowledge? That's what they said. As far as Prabhupada is concerned, material knowledge is, we need something to eat, we need a place to sleep, and we need some clothes to wear. Apart from that, there is not much material knowledge necessary, Prabhupada said. That this material knowledge, what we are cultivating from Prabhupada's point of view, it's always there and available in every species. What is the big deal about it? That's what Prabhupada was stressing all the time. This important point to remember, that material knowledge need not make a person feel very proud or satisfied about it. It is nothing but, it's not a very higher understanding of life. Whereas adhyalpa vidya vidyayam, adhyalpa vidya, spiritual knowledge is knowledge. That's what Krishna says. So from the same way, Krishnadev, when instructed his children, he told them that janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Aham and mameti, me and mine, these two things binds one to the material identity. Material world is bound by these two things. Aham and mameti means me and mine. Everyone is deluded by these two, Rishabhadev says there. Aham mameti, aham me and mameti mine. So this is the normal situation for all of us, isn't it? We are all living in this world with this perception. Me and mine, me and mine, me and mine. Everything in that level. The bhakti process is such, the moment one understands, mamedi changes and becomes, everything is Krishna's. If that is fixed up in the mind, at the moment that thought is not coming to us. We are thinking everything is mine. If not everything, at least something is mine. Krishna may have something of his own, but I don't know about that. But I have a lot of it in my own. Rest is all Krishna's maybe, but mine is mine, Krishna's is Krishna's. But Shastram is saying, when the mamedi goes away, and once you start seeing that everything is Krishna's, that's bhakti. That's bhakti. That's all. It is simple as that. This ignorant concept that has crept into our consciousness, that when we appeared in this world, or when we took birth in this world, from then on, we appear like this, isn't it? Holding hands to like this. Have you seen the babies? Already the desire for holding is there when the coming into this world itself. It's not like that. It's come like this. So from there itself, you can see that the desire for accumulating and holding is strongly in us. And Krishna says, that this mamayati, attachment as mine, goes to thinking that it is Krishna's. It is Krishna's. If that perception is strongly embedded in us, that's bhakti. That's bhakti. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. But when that full realization comes, then our activities will also change accordingly. That's number one. Number two, aham mamedi, that aham is me. What's that me? Me means I am separate from Krishna. I am separate from Krishna. I am independent, in other words. I have not recognized my relationship with Krishna at any stage. Still I am thinking I am separate from Krishna. I have total independence. I have to act independently and I have to look after myself and I will do something for Krishna and if he does something for me, it's fine. If not, we'll carry on as we are. Is it not? So that's the present philosophy. But this 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is bringing a change to all these things. 10th chapter is telling us there is only Krishna exists. You don't even exist actually. Your real existence in this temporary material body is the false identity what you have acquired through your karma and vasanas and everything. And then you are identifying with regularly on a day after day basis and executing your activities in this level. So therefore, when that knowledge changes and when one realizes that we are part of Krishna, our identity, relationship is with Krishna and nothing else. And that means that only Krishna exists in this world and that is knowledge. That is jnanam. So jnanam means to realize that only Krishna exists. Bhakti means to realize that everything is Krishna's. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. That word signifies all these things in there, in the Bhagavatam. So, these 10 chapters, when Arjuna raised this question to Krishna, you can also notice how far Arjuna has moved ahead in his realization. That is coming here. How far he has moved ahead in his realization. Because this knowledge, what Arjuna is talking about with Krishna, Arjuna is talking to Krishna, is the summary of the Upanishad's knowledge. Upanishad's knowledge, what Krishna is providing in the Bhagavad Gita, is the summary of the Upanishad. So that is the topos knowledge also. Topos knowledge also. You will find the same thing in Ramayana also in a different pattern. Here it is between Krishna and Arjuna. There it is between Lakshmana and Ramachandra. Lakshmana asking similar questions to Ramachandra. And these questions and answers here will give very much a semblance of what happened between Lakshmana and Ramachandra. While in the forest for many years, Ramachandra and Lakshmana spent considerable time in the forest. And often Lakshmana used to ask questions about spiritual life to Ramachandra for our benefit, not for their benefit, for our benefit. So Lakshmana's questions and Ramachandra's answers will resemble very much these question answers what we are going to see here now in the Bhagavad Gita. So essentially, spiritual knowledge is always the same. It's nothing new in that. It's always existed. And even in the Traidayagam in Ramachandra's time, and in the Dwaparayagam also, in Krishna's time. Only thing is, Krishna presented it in a different manner. But the knowledge is the same. Knowledge hasn't changed. Then, so, here we saw that Arjuna is saying to Krishna, that you are the Supreme Brahman and you are the pure person. And by now Arjuna was experiencing that devotion in his heart. That's what you find. And then he confirms that all the great sages like Narada, Asita, Devala, Vyasa. And now you yourself, Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna, is confirming that to me. Soyam jaiva bravishume. You are saying to me the same thing. And I was fortunate to hear that from you. Faith. Then, let's continue. 14 verse. Sarvameda dradam manye yenmam vadasi keshava mahide bhagavan vyaktim vidur devana danava. Arjuna says to Krishna that whatever you have spoken, I realize that it is the truth. I realize it is the truth. Because, not strictly speaking, not even the demigods or the demons understand your glories completely. They cannot know it. If they can't know it, what to talk about the human society, human species? What chance have they got? This was Arjuna's point. It is a very valid point. Arjuna used to go to the heavenly planets when he wanted to go. He could go. He was a personality like that. So he knew that there were higher species existing above the human species. We think there's only human species, the highest we think. But Arjuna says, no, this is the lowest one, he says, this human space is. And what chance have they got? That was Arjuna's point of view. Arjuna says, even the great demigods and the demons, they don't understand you. What chance have they got, this human space is? He says here, Svayameva Alpana Atmanam Etatvam Purushottama Bhutabhavana Bhudesha Devadeva Jagalpade. This time Arjuna's words are important. Devadeva Jagalpade, or great supreme personality of Godhead, the God of gods, or the even the God of the demigods. That's why Arjuna is addressing Krishna. Devadeva Jagalpade, the Lord of the universe. Everything. Arjuna speaks now with great reverence, in a very reverential mood. Arjuna is saying, then Arjuna is saying here, Svayameva Alpana Atmanam Vetatvam Purushottamam. That one important point in there is, if you want to know about the soul, you can only know it through the soul. In other words, mind, senses, intelligence will never understand the soul. That's why it is used that word, Svayameva Alpana Atmanam. If you want to know the Atma, you have to know it through the Atma. That means, when you are aware of your spiritual identity, then you will know what soul means. Up to that point, we can explain the soul in different ways, isn't it? Like Krishna did in the second chapter. What did Krishna do? Krishna tried to explain to us the nature of the soul, the attributes of the soul, how the soul functions, what one cannot do with the soul. But in spite of all that, we have difficulty to understand what soul is, isn't it? We realize that the soul is the active principle or the living force within the body. That much we know. But where it is, how does it work, what does it do, all these things are still unknown to us. And people will ask all sorts of questions also about the soul. What kind of questions? I can tell you what all they'll ask. They'll ask that in the body there are other living entities also, isn't it? Sometimes worms or whatever that is. They'll ask, is there one soul only in the body or there are many souls in the body? So, but the difficulty to answer this question is, this is the answer for that. Svayameva Alpana Atmanam. When you are, I realize the soul, then you will know what soul is. Up to that point, you cannot know the soul. That's the beauty of the soul. No matter how hard you try to understand soul from the books, even there is Upanishad statements also, that 1 by 10,000 size is the tip of the hair. It says the size of the soul. Like this, there are so many statements you will hear about the soul from Upanishads and the other literature. But Vedavyas is, Bhagavan Krishna is, Arjuna is saying here, strictly speaking, you can only know about the soul when you realize the self. Otherwise you won't know it what it is. Svayameva Alpana Atmanam. You have to know it through the soul only. Because this soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. Isn't it? It's a part and parcel of Krishna. So you will realize Krishna when you realize yourself. That's what it means. And Krishna knows himself because he is completely spiritual. There is no material identity for Krishna. He doesn't have to accept a material body like us. Nor he is affected with the modes of nature. Maya cannot touch him. If you remember in the Bhagavatam, all these things are spoken in the beginning. Why? To make us aware the difference between us and Krishna. So because it's pure spirit, Krishna is pure spirit, he knows what he is. Svayameva Alpana Atmanam. He knows himself, his own identity. Then, Vaktum Arhasya Sheshena Divyahya Alma Vibhudaya Yabhivirbhudi Vibhudi Birlogam Imam Swam Vyapyadishtasi. Then, having said in the last verse, you cannot know, only you can know about yourself, Arjuna said to Krishna. Only you can know about yourself. We cannot know you because our position is like that. And then in the next verse, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Vaktum arhasi asheshena divya alpa vibhudaya yabhir vibhudi birloga imam swam vyapyadishtasi. One thing I know, Arjuna says to Krishna, that you are alma vibhudi. That means you are opulences of the soul, opulences of the Supreme Lord is present everywhere in this creation. Because this creation is nothing but matter, isn't it? The matter, that is the living entities in this world, have come from Krishna. That's what Arjuna is saying here. So, the origin is Krishna, and this is the manifestation of that, this whole creation. that and what we forget is that these opulences carries us away from him. When we observe the opulences, we are completely flabbergasted by that, or we are perplexed by that, or puzzled by this, seeing the opulences of Krishna. Arjuna is saying, these are your vibhutis. These things have come from you. But because we do not know you, we only know your opulences, what is in this, happening in this world, or in this cosmic creation, then we start wondering, how did this come about? How did this come about? But we know, that is why Arjuna is asking here that important question. Vaktum arhasi, please tell me, Asheshena, Atma Vibhudaya, Atma Vibhudi, all your, how these Vibhudis have come about from you. Who are they? What are your Vibhudis? Vibhudi means your opulences. How did they come? This is what Krishna is, Arjuna is asking. I'll give you a little clue to this chapter. If you get it, good. If you don't get it, just leave it. Don't worry about it. This Vibhudi means what? Vibhudi, in generally, we'll say opulences. Once, what happened was, a person who makes pictures, artist, yeah? He draws so many pictures, and one day he drew a very, very beautiful picture of a beautiful woman. He drew the picture of a beautiful woman. So, after he drew this picture, others saw that picture. So, they were naturally wanted to know, who this person, who is this, whose picture is this that you have drawn? They started asking him. Now, the way he drew the picture was, he, of the many, many women he has seen in this world, he kept in his mind the, sometimes, the beautiful nose of a woman, some other woman's beautiful eyes, or the eyelashes, and somebody else's lips, somebody else's cheeks, all these things he kept in mind, all from different people, different women. He has put them all together, and he made this beautiful picture of that person. So they asked him that, where would we find this person in this world? Who is it? They said to the artist. Artist says, you won't find him anywhere. You won't find this person anywhere. You won't find this beautiful personality anywhere. It has been taken from different personalities, and I have joined them together. There is no one person, even if you search the whole world, who will have all this beauty in that person. Because the picture was so good. This chapter, 10 chapters, is like that. Taken from all sources, Krishna's opulences, and put it together. You see? So, it is similar to this story, this chapter is. Krishna's vibhudis are spread all over. And in everything you will find something great. So the remaining verses from now on, when Krishna talks about vibhudis, this is how you have to see it. You have to see it in this way. From something, something has been taken out. About, there is hundreds of vibhudis, Krishna's vibhudis, in the opulences in this world. Added to this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find much more than this. Brahmanyanam balistvam kradushuja javayatyosi vireshu pataha bhaktanam uddhavastvam balamasi balinam dhama tejasvinam tvam nastyande sarvabhudehi vigasaradishayam vastu sarvam tvameva tvam jivastvam pradhanam yadiha bhavadrude tvanna kinchil prapanjem. This is how it is spoken about Krishna. In this prapanjam, in this whole creation, all that exists is Krishna. Nothing else. Krishna's opulences in different forms, in different ways, in the whole creation you find. And when you realize that, then you become, understand Krishna's position. With all this in the background, one has to study this chapter. Brahmanyanam balistvam. In the Bhagavatam, while referring to this, different opulences are picked from throughout the creation. Kradushuja jabayatyosi vireshu partha. among the heroes I am Arjuna, Krishna says. Bhaktanam Uddhavastvam, among the devotees I am Uddhava. Balamasi Balinam Dama Tejaswinam Tvam Nasti Andai Sarvabhudehi Vigasada Dishayam Vastu Sarvam Tvameva. Everything is you, nothing else exists here. Vastu Sarvam Tvameva Tvam Jivastvam Pradhanam. And among all the living entities, you are Jiva. Krishna is Jiva and in present in every one of us. Tvam Jivastvam Pradhanam Yadiha Bhavadade Tvanna Kinjal Prabhanjem. Except you, nothing else exists in this creation. So, in order to drive this point to our mind strongly, we have to keep these things in our mind when we start going through the next many verses. All the remaining chapter is nothing but pulling out Krishna from different places in this world and pulling it together and presenting it to us. That is Krishna's vibhuti. So, this thing should be understood. Otherwise, when we read these things, sometimes people read Bhagavad Gita and they say, Adityanam Aham Vishnu. They say, what's this so special about this? They say, this is that. I don't understand. That's what the conclusion is, isn't it? Because vibhuti is to understand vibhuti. First, our mind has to be qualified for that. Qualification comes from this understanding that it is Krishna who exists and Krishna's opulences are all this creation. And through that opulences, we are trying to understand Krishna. That's what we are trying to do. So here, that's what you will find here. Arjuna has understood it. You can notice that here. Arjuna has understood that point now. That's why he is saying here, there's a kind of Arjuna's ability to discriminate comes through these verses. That's why he is saying to Krishna, tell me about your Atma Vibhuti. Krishna, Arjuna says to Krishna. In other words, explain to me all your vibhuti so that I can understand you. In other words, Arjuna knows that it is Krishna's opulences that is shining forth in this creation. Arjuna is coming up to that higher level of understanding of Krishna. In this world, what is filled with is nothing but Krishna's opulences. Krishna's opulences. Unfortunately, in our present system, we do not see any relationship with the Creator and the created, isn't it? All what we see is the created thing. And this created thing we keep on churning out, trying to see what it is in there. But nothing comes out from there. The person behind it, the Creator and the created, that relationship is the most important thing. Once we understand that relationship, then this chapter will be understood. Otherwise it's difficult. And that is what we have to understand. You can see from this verse how this chapter has got the name as Vibhuti Yogam. The chapter itself is called Vibhuti Yogam. In other words, Krishna's opulences. Where else it comes in the Bhagavatam? In the Bhagavatam it comes in a different way. There the situation is little different. To Arjuna, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. What was the purpose? To convince Arjuna, karma is important. And not to withdraw from the battlefield, but to fight the war. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna at that point. And very important things Krishna stressed in Bhagavad Gita, particularly in reference to karma. Not to pull out from the karma he has to execute, but how to execute the karma and the proper understanding, karma yogam, Krishna has discussed there. Is it not? But when it comes to Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a little different. To Uddhava, Krishna did not speak karma yogam. That is the most important thing to remember. Because these are things when you will strike your mind when you study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam together. And they will give you some depth of thought why it has happened like that. Why did Krishna not speak about karma yogam to Uddhava seriously? There it's all bhakti and jnanam to Uddhava. Why did he do that? Depending on the qualification, or depending on the person's particular situation, Krishna has spoken given the instructions to Arjuna and Uddhava. Arjuna was not qualified to take the higher knowledge. He was not reached that stage yet. He was right in the middle of his age. And still he had a long way to go through before he gets to that stage. Vedic literature is not just a blanket statement for everything, everyone, same thing. No, it's not like that. Depending on the time in life, depending on the qualifications of a person, instructions must vary. Otherwise it makes no sense. You can't instruct a 5-year-old boy and a 50-year-old person the same way in spiritual life. It would not make any sense. Because the frame of mind of the 50-year-old person is different than the 5-year-old child. isn't it? So naturally the instructions has to vary. The knowledge also has to vary accordingly. But the principles are the same, but to be presented in different ways. So here what you find is, when it was talking to Arjuna, Krishna spoke certain things to inspire Arjuna to engage in karma and to karma yogam and to engage in the battle. And that was the point at that time. Arjuna was at that point. Arjuna needed that. Uddhava's position, we spoke about that last Sunday. Uddhava has gone too far. This is all finished for Uddhava. Krishna was leaving the planet to go back to his abode. Uddhava was also almost a similar age. A person who is 123, 124 years old, what would you instruct him? Would you talk to him about karma yoga at that time? What karma will it help him? Uddhava has finished all that at that time. Uddhava has gone beyond that. So therefore, instructions to Uddhava are different in the Bhagavadam. Instructions to Uddhava is different in the Bhagavadam. So there, when it comes to Bhagavadam, Krishna talks in a different way to Uddhava. Krishna talks in a different ways to Uddhava. So, there, this Vibhuti Yogam has a significance also. That's what I'm trying to say. Why the importance of Vibhuti Yogam is. Here, Vibhuti Yogam is understood in one way. There, Vibhuti Yogam is understood in a different way. We will come to that, why it is different. When Krishna was instructing Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, Tantu sarvam parityajya sneham sujana bandhusho maya veshamana samyak samadrak vijaraswagam. That is how the whole Ekadasha Skandham in one verse is that. That Tantu sarvam parityajya, exactly opposite to what Krishna has told Arjuna, Krishna is saying to Uddhava now. Give up everything, he says to Uddhava. Because Uddhava's stage is like that. To Arjuna, no, get involved in the fight. Fight the war, he says to Arjuna. Take the weapon and fight, he says, isn't it? To Arjuna, Krishna said that, isn't it? Take the weapon and fight the battle. Whereas to Uddhava, Krishna says, Tantu sarvam parityajya, give up everything. No attachment to this world. Sneham sojana bandhushu, attachment to your own sneham for sojanam. Sojanam means one's own people. Bandhushu means relatives. Relatives and friends and society, all these things what we are carrying with us all the time. So Krishna is saying there, Tandu sarvam parityajya sneham sojana bandhushu. Then after that, Krishna says, Maya veshyamana. Get your mind completely fixed upon me. Don't allow your mind to wander around in this world. That will not help. Mind will go on taking you to all kinds of situations and different places in this world and different engagements for you. That has to stop now. Maya veshyamana samyak. Completely fix the mind upon me. And then Krishna says, samadrik vicharaswagam. Samadrik means fully, equally minded towards all the other living entities. Equal mind to all the living entities. Krishna says to Uddhava. Why did Krishna say that to Uddhava? Because Krishna was aware that Uddhava has come to that stage now. He was qualified to have that ability to see it like that. Whereas others are not. So therefore that's not practical. Now that samadrik, that word there, is very important. Important in the sense, what is this samadrik means? Samadrik is a very equal vision, we say, isn't it? In the Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita, we also translate that into equal vision to all the other living entities. So what is that equality? That's an important question. Equality means, everything, if you look at this 8.4 million different species of life in this world, you do not find anyone equal to somebody else, is it? You don't find anything same as the one person is the same as the other. Everybody is different. Is it not? Everybody is different. Even if you take the case of, say, twins who are born from the same mother, twins who look alike. They look, sometimes it's difficult to recognize who is who, isn't it? Sometimes you get a problem. But still, even among them, if you go a little bit, those who know them very well, they'll know who is who. Why? Because their nature is different. Physically they look alike, but their way of thinking, way of expressions, or intelligence or intelligence level or whatever, that is all different. From there you will make out they are different. So either on a gross level or on a subtle level, all the living entities are different. I'm only talking about the human species now. Even if you take how many people are there, say 8 billion people in this world, or 6 billion, I don't know. Whatever it is, how many billions are there? Not one person is exactly the same as the other. Not one person is exactly the same as the other. So, because it is like that, it is Krishna's decision that it should be like that. Therefore, foolishly, we shouldn't think we are all equal. That is what the point Bhagavatam is saying to us. Never think any time that we are all equal. Unfortunately, Krishna didn't want it like that. That is why he has created us like this. Somebody in a particular way, somebody in a different way. Everyone different, one from the other. Now, this is only as far as the human species are concerned. To that you add on the other species as well. For example, the birds, the beasts, the aquatics, and all the trees, plants, all the remaining species. And if you want that we all have to be equal, is that possible? It's never possible, is it? It's never possible. You cannot find equality in all these things within our vision. It's not possible. But in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Vasudev, once talking to Devahuti Devi, his mother, says that it is possible. How is it possible? In all these things, the whole creation, there is one thing which is common to all of them. And that is known as Sri Vasudeva, Krishna. Krishna's part and parcel is present in everything, every living entity. He is present there. So, in order to locate that particular aspect of Krishna in every living entity, and seeing that aspect is equal vision of all living entities. Otherwise, it's not. For in the modern world, we try to bring everyone equal, isn't it? Our philosophy, in the lot of people have tried that we should all be equal. They want to cut the rich and make them poor, and elevate the poor and make them rich. All kinds of juggling is going on in this world to bring everyone on an equal platform. This mentality is in us very well. We want it like that. That's why even while electing a leader or the government, we all have a right to vote, although it means nothing. But still, we all have a right so that we feel that we have made it done equal to everybody. We should share everything equally. This is the human nature. But unfortunately, Krishna's logic is different. Krishna didn't create us equally. This is the problem. And he wanted it that everyone should not be equal. This is the problem. That Krishna's problem means Krishna has done it like that. So Krishna says that if you want to be equal, see me in everything living entity. And then everyone is equal. Otherwise, they are not equal. This is the problem. This is the situation. We are not equal unless one comes to this position of spiritual identity, or in other words, understanding Krishna in as the living force within every living entity. Once that is realized, then everywhere it's equal. There is no more differentiation between Brahmana and a Shudra, or a rich man and a poor man, or a black man and a white man, or this, that. So many differences what we have created all goes away. Uddhava asked this question to Krishna. How do I get there? Because this qualification is one of the prime things in spiritual life, to come to that position is a very important thing. Krishna says to him that, Uddhava, in order to get to that situation, there is only one thing you can do. What is that?
Every
time when you see another living entity, pay your obeisance, like a rod you fall on the ground and pay your obeisances to him, thinking that I am present in them. This was Krishna's solution to the problem. Ekadasha skandam this will discuss very later in detail how this will work. This will work. Don't think that it's not practical or anything. It has happened and people have done this and experimented it and found itself also correct. That this is the only way that you can realize, get out of this mentality of weighing up people all the time. Is he good enough or is he bad enough? This is our mind. Normally we weigh up people, isn't it? And we start making judgment and all this. But all these things are not conducive for spiritual life. One who wants to go back home back to Krishna has to get rid of all this anathas from inside. So there, Krishna is saying here, Ashvajanda Lagogaram. When he sees their horse or a chandala or a go, cow or a gharam, so whatever it is, just fall down and start paying your obeisances to that living entity and see me there. If you do that for a long period of time, Krishna says, in due course, you will come to see me everywhere. That's the only way you can get there, he says. So you can see how difficult spiritual life is sometimes. Spiritual life doesn't happen overnight. We have to change. There is no alternative. So therefore, Uddhava was about 125 years old almost. And you are asking him to pay obeisances every minute to everyone and anyone you see. Is that practical? That's also difficult, isn't it? So Krishna has said at that time that first you pay your obeisance, respects to everyone within your mind, to all the living entities. Never feel that they are separate from me. See me in them. Through them, see me first. And in that way, you will make progress. If you practice it, Krishna says, it will happen. Many years ago, there was a very famous exponent of Srimad Bhagavatam. He lived for not very long, about 60 or 65 years old. And then he left his body. He studied Ekadasha Skandam very well, thoroughly. And used to speak from Ekadasham to many times to devotees, the importance of Ekadasham. So after many years, he started realizing that I have been talking about Ekadasha Skandam to so many people, what Krishna has spoken. Due to that power of knowledge in the Ekadasha Skandam. So he decided one day that I have tried my best to develop this understanding of equality in every living entity. So initially he made up his mind that he will start paying his obeisances to all the other living entities. When he saw the dog, he paid his obeisances to the dog. When he saw the elephant, he paid his obeisances to the elephant. Everywhere he started saying, Krishna, who has come in front of me in this form, I pay my obeisances to him. To the elephant who has come in this form, I pay my obeisances to him. In due course, he found out that it is possible to see this world in that way. How do you know that it is like this? When one goes to see the deity in the temple, and when one pays his obeisances to Krishna, if he has surrendered and obeyed his obeisances properly, from there he is going to receive a certain amount of satisfaction from there. He will find a certain happiness coming from that he was able to pay his obeisances to Krishna. If while paying obeisances to all the other living entities, if you receive the same response from within, somebody will tell you from inside. For us, all these things don't apply because we haven't opened up our heart so much. Even while paying obeisances, we are calculating something else. That's where our problem is. Whereas those devotees who have taken Krishna consciousness seriously, for even paying one obeisances is important. For us, obeisances is... It's like this. Finished. That part is finished. Move on to the next one. So this is how our obeisances are. So that is why everything become mechanical for us. Obeisances is mechanical. Saying the prayers is mechanical. Chanting is mechanical. Deity worship is mechanical. Because the modern world is a real machine, it is, everyone. We have to admit that. The modern civilization, purely based on machines and mechanisms. And we also become one like them. Another part of the whole machinery. So, unfortunately, these things become mechanical. And then it takes so long a time to realize that I've done it for 50 years. But nothing has happened. It's still the same. Nothing is changing. My mechanical process is continuing every day, morning to night. I'm doing mechanically things. So that is why this is important to understand all these things in the Bhagavatam and think through it and analyze it, why it is done, why, how it should be done, and then it will make a big change in our realizations also. So he found, this devotee found, that when he paid his obeisances to Krishna, which he did always, from there whatever happiness he received, because when you pay your obeisances to Krishna properly, somebody will tell you from inside that I appreciate what you have done. That's Krishna. Krishna is within. He will recognize and answer back to you that you have paid your obeisances properly. That happiness he found while paying obeisances to other living entities also. And that was his realization at the moment. So you can see from this that the science of spiritual life is the same in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They are not different. They are talking about the same thing. But here, and now coming back to this, why I was saying this, Vibhuti Yogam. So, this equal vision has to develop inside. Krishna says, the first thing in order to do that is to see me in all the great wonders in this world. In all the great wonders of this world. First you start seeing Krishna there, because in anything what you take, say for example in the aquatics, or in the animals, or in the great powerful heroes in this world, and all that is manifested in this creation, everywhere you look for Krishna, and whichever is the greatest in that, take that as Krishna. That is the first step to come to this stage, to start with. If you do that for some period of time, we'll discuss that a little bit more later in detail. When you start doing that, after a while what will happen is, when you see the sun, when you see the sea, when you see the forest, in so many instances it will bring you back the memories of Krishna. Because all that is Krishna's direct manifestation in this world. Direct manifestation in this world. So that is the first step in that. Second step after that, when this realization builds up inside, later on what will happen is that you will also notice that every living entity in this world, Krishna has given them something very special. Some quality in everyone you will find. In everything, every living entity if you take, you will find some greatness in that person, which is part and parcel of Krishna. Mamai tejomsha sambhavam. It is coming from the spark of my splendor, Krishna says. So, after you have identified the great opulences, once you have crossed that stage, the next stage is to see this particular opulences in every living entity. Even in the trees and the plants you can see this. One particular plant has got some capacity that's only available for that particular plant. Nobody else has got it. Take for example, tulsi plant. Tulsi plant, isn't it? Without tulsi, you cannot do any deity worship, can you? You cannot do any deity worship. So that opulence, Krishna has given to tulsi, that this is your opulence, you can keep it with you. You see? Similarly, if you look at all the other similarly similarly if you look at all the Similarly, if you look at all the other living entities in this world, you will find similarly something which is very special with that particular species. Particular species. So, the second step is to see that in the other living entities as well. Of the thousands and thousands of plants in this world, each one of those plants, Krishna has given them a special potency. In the medicine, you will notice. So many things we buy, medicines from the shop. Where did they all get that from? That came from Krishna. It is Krishna's potencies in the plants that we have extracted. And we make ourselves a lot of money out of it, isn't it? Big companies, making a lot of money from that. And think that we have invented it. We have found out. We are the smart people. But could they create that potency? No. That's come from the plants. And from different different species. We have got that. So Krishna is saying, first identify Krishna in every living entity. The first step, all the great opulences of this world, identify that and see me there. Second thing, in all the living entities, see my mamai yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam. Wherever you find my opulences is there, mamai tejomsha sambhavam, it has come from me, realize that. So this is the process of realization. And ultimately what will happen, if one follows this route, you will find that in everything it is Krishna who is present, not us. That our importance will go away at that time. Krishna's opulences is everywhere. And it is with this background that you have to start looking at the different opulences of Krishna, what is spoken in the next many verses. By now you can see Arjuna's mind. Arjuna's mind, you can see how Arjuna has gone ahead. Because the next verse will show that. Katam vidyamaham yogim stvam sada parichintayan keshu keshu jabhaveshu chindyosi bhagavan mayam. Arjuna is saying to Krishna, how should I meditate you? In what form? Keshu keshu jabhaveshu. In which form should I see you now? Because now Arjuna is getting very excited about it. Realizing that it is Krishna everywhere. Keshu keshu jabhaveshu chindyosi bhagavan mayam. Then, how should I approach you? This is the question Arjuna is asking. How should I realize you? How should I see you in this world? Why these questions have come from Arjuna? Because by now, Arjunas have got such a strong desire inside to understand Krishna. And that is where these questions have come now, like this. So, from this you can see, that unless we have such an intense desire within us to understand Krishna, you will not be able to understand the remaining part of this chapter. People will start asking questions, why Krishna is like this? Why Krishna is like that? No, first we have to see how Arjuna approached this question. Arjuna's question was, Keshu Keshu Ja Bhaveshu Chindyose Jagavan Maya. In which form should I understand you? In other words, talk to me about everything about you, all your opulences, so that I can realize what you are. This is that strong desire in Arjuna to understand Krishna. And it is only when this desire is intense in us and we develop that very strongly, then remaining part of this chapter will be very interesting. But otherwise what will happen is that we will read every verse, we'll read all the translation, read all the purport also, and then we'll ask all questions, we'll go home as we have come. So that is not good. That this, all this Bhagavad Gita has a way of presenting things. And there is a psychology behind it, which Arjuna is while posing these questions to Krishna. You must always observe that also. Why Arjuna has asked such a question and what was Arjuna's mood while asking that question. So here in this verse we can see that you have to understand Arjuna's mood at that time. Yeah? And a kind of restlessness in Arjuna. Arjuna is feeling very restless at that point. See, Keshu Keshu Ja Bhaveshu, Arjuna asking Krishna, tell me, in which form should I see you? How should I approach you? How should I relate with you? This mood has come to Arjuna. Keshu Keshu Ja Bhaveshu, Chindyosi Bhagavan Mayam. So, the result of this is, Krishna is sensing that Arjuna is very serious now to know about me. That is the reason, immediately after this chapter, Krishna showed his universal form to Arjuna. After seeing Arjuna's desire, that intense desire, that restlessness in Arjuna to understand Krishna. We don't have that restlessness, do we? Do we? No. We don't feel restless also, because we think Krishna is there, we are here, what have we got to do with it? This is our approach. As long as we are like this, all Bhagavad Gita will remain as a mystery to us. We won't understand. In order to understand Bhagavad Gita, we must catch up Arjuna's mood. Arjuna's mood is very important, because in this verse you will see it's not the same Arjuna from the beginning. Arjuna has gone so way ahead in the understanding. He is asking to Krishna, Keshu Keshu Ja Bhaveshu, in which way should I realize, see you, should I understand you? Please tell me all your opulences so that I can get some understanding of you. Arjuna has become very, very sincere and very fired up to understand Krishna. that fiery mood of Arjuna, or that intense desire in Arjuna's mood, you can notice it in this particular verse. Kadham vidyamaham yogim stam sada parichindayan keshu geshu jabhaveshu chindyosi bhagavan mayam. Then vistarena atmano yogam vibhudim cha janardana bhuyakalaya truptarhi shrunodo nasti me mridam. Arjuna, out of excitement he is speaking now. You see the excitement in Arjuna's words. What does he say? Vistarena atmano yogam vibhudim cha janardana. Janardana, your vibhuti, addressing Krishna as Janardana. Janardana, your vibhutis, your opulences are such, please elaborate them to me. Visayan Atmano Yogam. Unless you elaborate them, I will not understand them properly. And I won't like to hear. Bhuya kathaya truptarhi. Till I am satisfied, I am not at all satisfied. Why? Shunnado asyame mradam. That it is like nectar for me when I am hearing from your lips about yourself. Arjuna is saying to Krishna, then I am hearing about you from your lips, and the more I hear, it's like nectar for me, because it's a completely new opening up for Arjuna. Arjuna never thought all these things before. Look at Krishna's position, Supreme Personality. Krishna is instructing Arjuna. He is so kind to Arjuna that let Arjuna understand me a little bit. This is the our position also. This is what we are praying to Krishna. Every moment our prayer should be such. The day when you spoke to Arjuna, you wanted Arjuna to understand you, and to some extent, and that much extent Arjuna has understood. Similarly with Uddhava also, Krishna wanted Uddhava to understand, and Uddhava understood the spiritual knowledge. So similarly, for us also, when we read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, our prayers to Krishna should be always, please give us the understanding, what when you spoke to Arjuna, you wanted Arjuna to understand. Similarly, give us also this understanding of your sweet words in the Bhagavad Gita. That's why Krishna Arjuna calls it as nectar. Nasime amrutam, the nectar, what you have spoken. For us, it is just another verse, isn't it? We are thinking another verse Krishna has spoken, or Arjuna has spoken. No, these verses have so much potency behind it. It says here, then Arjuna is saying to Krishna, you may be thinking that all these things I have asked you before. Arjuna says, I am very dull-headed, but therefore I am not able to grasp it completely, the values of your words. So please completely repeat it again and again. I am not at all satisfied, no matter how many times I have heard them. This is Arjuna is saying to Krishna. You see, spiritual knowledge will never come to us. Spiritual knowledge will never will develop in us unless there is Krishna wants that to happen. Just like Krishna wanted it to happen, that all of us should be different, isn't it? It is Krishna's decision that every one of us should be different. In various ways, we are different. Similarly, it is Krishna's decision. We know there's no point in us trying to change it. There's no point in us trying to change it. It's not going to work. What's the point in doing that? So similarly, this knowledge also is, if Krishna wants that to happen, Bandhu sneham vijahyam tavahi karunaya toyubhaveshid alma sarvam tektva chareyam. That tavahi karunaya, only by Krishna's mercy that will happen. That knowledge will come to us. This is the point what Arjuna is making to him. And Arjuna's question was appreciated by Krishna. And looking at Arjuna's enthusiasm and excitement, Krishna started smiling and started answering the question from now on. That is how the vibhuti start from here. What you have to remember is that Krishna's position is like this. When you go to the seashore and look at the sea, the vast ocean in front of you, which is endless, there is no end to the ocean, isn't it? When you look at the ocean, Atlantic Ocean or Pacific Ocean or any ocean for that matter, when you look, it's endless. And that is Krishna. That's Krishna. Krishna is like that. And from that ocean, hundreds and thousands of waves are coming one after the other. Isn't it? In big oceans you find waves. In North Sea you find waves right up to 100 meters high. Waves coming at 100 meters high, they come there. Big huge oil rigs, they get moved by these waves. So these waves are Krishna's different incarnations. Krishna is the ocean, Krishna is ocean himself. The different big waves are these different incarnations coming one after the other. And at the end of the waves, you will find some foam and bubbles and all that. We are all that. That bubbles there, which stands for a few seconds or sometimes a minute or so, and then it bursts. Isn't it? This is the difference between Krishna and us. That is the depth of difference between us and Krishna. Krishna is that huge ocean. Different incarnations are the different waves coming from Krishna. And when the waves eventually comes and touches the shore, there is some bubbles and foam created, and that's what we are all there. And that is our position. So, Krishna says here that in reply to this, unless we have this concept in our mind about Krishna's position and our position, all the remaining vibhutis, what we are going to talk about now, will not make any difference. Danyosi kragratyosi pavidam tem. That the mood of Arjuna is like a disciple now. You can notice that. Krishna is a spiritual master and Arjuna is the disciple. See how the disciple, how in a humble way he is inquiring from Krishna. So it is these questions of Arjuna that made Krishna as a spiritual master there. And Krishna's answer to those questions in order to satisfy Arjuna's curiosity. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha
Handade Kathayishyami Divyahyalpa Vibhudaya Pradhanyada Guru Shrestha Nastyando Vistarasyami.
Then Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Krishna says, Handade Kathayishyami. Krishna calls it as Katha. That is very interesting there. Why it is Katha? Krishna says that Arjuna, you have asked such a question now. If I had to answer, it is a very difficult question because my opulences are, vibhudis are unlimited. I can't answer that. Myself can't answer. It's so unlimited. It will going to take a lot of time. But, Atma vibhudaya pradhanyada kuru shrestha nastyando vistarasyame. Since you have asked me, I will, according to their importance, I will mention a few of them. Krishna says to Arjuna, because I cannot completely give you all the opulences. My opulences, I cannot talk to you completely because it's not possible. Nobody can explain that, Krishna says. So, when somebody reads Bhagavad Gita, he may think like this. Why Krishna is boasting like this about him so much that nobody can... But unfortunately, if you go through these opulences, we will develop that mood of Arjuna very seriously in our own mind, that how important it is to know these opulences and their relationship with Krishna. So that is why, according to the importance, Krishna says, I will talk to you about them. And when one has understood, not all of them, all these opulences are difficult to appreciate for us. You see, ordinary people like us, we will have a difficulty in understanding all these opulences what's listed in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. But some of them we will be able to understand, and that will take us a long way in our spiritual life. That's what it is important, that it will also open up our eyes as Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is very special in the sense that there is no other literature in the world which has been commented like Bhagavad Gita. No other spiritual literature which has been commented like Bhagavad Gita. There is no other spiritual literature. You may talk about other scriptures from the... they are all translated into other languages, isn't it? They are all being translated to various languages. For example, Bible or other various literatures. They have all been translated to other languages. But why Bhagavad Gita is different in the sense that it is not that it has been translated, it has been commented by people. That shows the powerful thought in the Bhagavad Gita that has stirred up their mind to write the commentary. Rather than just translating from one language to another, translation doesn't mean anything. It is the realization of a person after studying Bhagavad Gita, what has changed, what has brought up that knowledge in him to write about Krishna's Bhagavad Gita again. Once again, he wanted to express his understanding of Bhagavad Gita from that. That has come from that. In so many languages, all over the world, you will find hundreds and hundreds of commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Every single language you will see. And this has happened because of the special nature of Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna's way of presenting, the Vedavyasa Maharshi has put the absolute truth in that way. And that's what opens up everything else. And prior, there is more thing to that. Krishna's personality behind it. Krishna's personality is very, very different than everybody else, isn't it? So many previous, we also have so many other different incarnations of Krishna. So many other gods people worship in this world. But Krishna is different. Krishna is different. Krishna is so special in that sense that, take for example Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva doesn't have any pastimes like this. He dances, Tandavam it's called. Shiva Tandavam. Shiva dances. Take for Lord Ramachandra. Has he got pastimes? Ramachandra doesn't have actually pastimes. Ramayanam is not actually pastimes. Leela or pastimes is only for Krishna, nobody else. Pastimes is only for Krishna. And if you ask different questions on this, people have misunderstood Krishna many times. They have misunderstood. Some people thought that Krishna has some problem. They have even thought that. Some people say, right at the early age of 4 and 5 years itself, Krishna should have been sent to a juvenile school. Because he started stealing at home and going to gopis and stealing from their clothes and their this, all these kind of things. So, what do they call it? Juvenile home, isn't it? Where they send the children who cannot be prosecuted, who should be charged with some punishment. When Krishna grew up, they started saying he is definitely a warmonger. You see how many people, he has killed many of them even while he was young in Vrindavan and in later on in Mathura also. And there is no other god who has killed his own uncle in the first day he met him. Is there one like that? So from every angle you look at Krishna, you will find Krishna is different. And therefore, because of all these things, people are a little bit hesitant about Krishna. They don't want to get too close to Krishna. They say, we'll go to Lord Ramachandra. Krishna is a little bit hard for us to digest. There are people like that, I'm telling you. There are people who have this understanding of Krishna also. They read Bhagavad Gita, they read Bhagavatam. They say, alright, it's not too bad what Krishna has done in the childhood. Especially Damodar Leela and all they enjoy. But when it comes to the other pastimes, they find a bit hard to digest it. That one after the other, all the demons get kicked. But that we'll discuss later. What Krishna has done actually, if they understood it properly, they will never be able to think like that. Only because we don't understand Krishna. Therefore, we impose all our morals on Krishna and judge him on that way. Krishna is beyond our judgment. That's the first thing to understand. And in addition to that, what else you can see? When he killed Kamsa, people criticized Krishna. Oh, the uncle, first day itself, first meeting, killing Krishna. So, then what else? This great Mahabharata war. According to calculations, I don't know what exactly this figure, some people say 640 million died in that war. Some people say 64 million, and some people 6.4 million. It doesn't matter. A large number of people were killed in that battle. What did Krishna say to Arjuna at the end, after the war? After the end of the war, when Ekashaskandam was discussed to Uddhava, Krishna says to Arjuna, no such war has ever happened, he says. This is Krishna. That is how Krishna is. This personality, why Krishna is called Supreme Personality of Godhead, is for this reason. That none of us can ever understand, none of us can ever understand what is Krishna. That personality is difficult to understand. When Lord Ramachandra came here, in Ramayanam if you read, it's a beautiful, well, his greatest creation, Ramayanam. And Ramayanam, when Ramachandra was experiencing distress, when Sita Devi was stolen by Ravana, how Ramachandra reacted to that? He felt a distress. In the Bhagavatam, it is also mentioned by Sudeva Goswami. Sudeva Goswami evaluates Ramachandra there at that time. Martyavadaram, if you come here, even if it's God who comes here in the human form, he has to suffer, he says. About Ramachandra, he says that. And like that, even Ramachandra's pastimes are have people made people to cry when Sita Devi was taken away by Ravana. And then till Sita Devi was recovered after the battle in battle of Sri Lanka. Till that time, Valmiki did not feel satisfied, and many others as well. They all felt considerable unhappiness over that incident. And some of the decisions of Ramachandra to send Sita Devi to the forest, that has broken the heart of many people. And unfortunately, even at the last moment, when Lakshmana was also told to go, that was the climax of the everything. People felt heartfelt unhappiness when some things happened like that. Had this happened to Krishna, what would have happened? That's also interesting to think. No problem there. As far as Krishna is concerned, all these things can be handled. That is Krishna. That's the difference between Krishna and all the other incarnations before. It's only in this particular incarnation as Krishna. He has exhibited, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At no time that mind was disturbed. When millions were slaughtered in the war, not disturbed about it. When the Rajasuyam sacrifice, Shishubala abused Krishna, Krishna was not disturbed about it. Right from the beginning, right up to the very end, the whole pastimes of Krishna was a flow of things, where absolutely no identification as the doer in this and totally independent from everything. Such a steadiness of mind and such a complete absorption in executing things without being affected by that hasn't seen in any other incarnation except in the Supreme Personality, Krishna and Krishna alone. Nowhere else. That is what makes Krishna special. That is what makes Krishna special. People ask this question. At the end of Mahabharata war, the last day, when the battle was over, Krishna took Arjuna and Pandavas to the riverside and allowed Draupadi's children to sleep in the tent, isn't it? And that very night, Ashwatthama came and killed them. Why did Krishna allow this? They asked the question. Why did, if Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why did he allow this to happen? Number one. This is an important question, isn't it? To ask this. Why did Krishna allow this to happen like this? Krishna could have stayed away from this. So in these verses you will find some of these, some of the answer for these kind of questions. Krishna says there that in that particular verse, Handa de kaheshyami. As far as Krishna is concerned, all the pastimes are katha, stories for me. I will explain that, Krishna says. But try to understand Krishna's position also. Before the Mahabharata war happened, what happened was that the Pandavas decided to send Arjuna, to send Krishna as their representative to for a peaceful settlement with the Kauravas, isn't it? Krishna was sent there as Pandava's representative. And what happened? Krishna comes back saying that the mission has failed. Now, the question people ask is, if he is Supreme Personality of Godhead, could he not have avoided the war? Isn't it? That the people ask, and then they start saying, no, he's not. If he is Supreme Personality, he could have avoided that. No. These pastimes of Krishna are only there to make us to inquire about Krishna more, to understand what's Krishna. That's why these pastimes are like. As far as Krishna is concerned, not one Mahabharata war, another millions of Mahabharata war can go on. It doesn't matter. He is beyond all these things. Krishna's position is so transcendental to our mundane senses and mundane intelligence that we are trying to measure up Krishna all the time with our limited senses and limited knowledge, and that's where we fail. Krishna's, if you understand Krishna, not only as a historic personality, after performing such wonderful pastimes beyond our understanding, at the very end of his the time of his departure from this world, Krishna delivers the highest knowledge, spiritual knowledge, to Uddhava before departing back to the spiritual world. No wonder at that time why all the demigods, including Lord Brahma, Shiva, everyone came inviting Krishna to come to his abode before going back to his own abode. That is how, that is Krishna's position. This is why, in order to understand this, we have to study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. From that, an understanding of Krishna will come, which is completely different than what we read otherwise. And that understanding of Krishna is to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is nobody who is, what is it, Ishwara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karanam, Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes, like Brahma Samhita says. There is nothing beyond Him. He is the cause of everything. So therefore, we'll go in that understanding, we'll go to the remaining verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Then, as I said before, that under no circumstances you will find Krishna is disturbed about anything. Not for a second. Krishna was not disturbed about anything. Nothing disturbs Krishna. And through all the pastimes of Krishna and the different activities what Krishna has performed, there was a motif behind it. The motif was for the ordinary conditioned soul, gives him an opportunity to inquire further. Like these pastimes, what I have mentioned few pastimes here, is only to increase our curiosity or our desire to know about Krishna more. That is why. Otherwise, for Krishna to protect the Pandavas' children or Krishna to avoid the war was not difficult. But through those pastimes, Krishna meant something. And that is what we have to understand. What did he mean by these things? And that we will see when he comes to that particular time.
Khandade katayishyami divyahyalma vibhudayam pradhanyada guru shreshta nastyando vistarasyame.
Now for the conditioned soul, for the jiva, for the living entity, to develop some understanding or desire to know about Krishna does not happen very easily, is it? It doesn't happen very easily. We will be interested to know many other things in this world, but if you tell someone, do you want to know about Krishna? He says, well, that's not the priority now. That will be the answer, isn't it? Rather, on the other hand, his mind will be hovering on when is the World Cup, whether I can get my ticket there, to get there. That is the priority in his life at the moment. And to such a person, if you talk about Krishna's vibhuti, will that have any effect on him? Would it be? Would there be any effect? If we remember, I mentioned this before, everything in the Vedic literature is spoken parochavado hrishayam parochanjamam apriyam. Sages speak indirectly. Krishna also likes spoken indirectly. What is the reason behind it? The reason is very simple. Krishna's point is also very straightforward about it. Why it is like that is that parokshavado krishayam. Rishis will say everything paroksham. Paroksham means indirectly. Parokshanjamam apriyam. I also like it indirect way. The reason for that is this thing called spiritual knowledge and spiritual inquiry does not come very easily in people's mind. It doesn't happen very easily in people's mind. It's a very confidential topic to inquire about the spirit soul and the spiritual nature of the truth and the absolute truth, because our conditioning is so strong in the material world. And because our conditioning is so strong, if you explain spiritual life to them, they will ridicule it. They won't be able to understand it. And they will start making joke about it and minimize it and diminish the importance of spiritual knowledge. Krishna does not want that. And that is the reason why it's spoken indirectly. Krishna says, let it stay confidential. Those who are inquisitive and those who are curious to know, they will come anyway. And those who are not inquisitive and those who have no desire for spiritual life, no matter you tell them directly on their face, they are not going to understand it. So what's the point? So, in order to keep the dignity or the glory of the spiritual knowledge and spiritual life, whatever Krishna has spoken, Krishna doesn't want that to be abused by people who have no respect for spiritual life and spiritual knowledge. Krishna has spoken it in a way that those who are serious, they can find it in the Bhagavad Gita, they can find it in the Bhagavatam as well. Otherwise, they won't find it. This is why Krishna is saying, only the jiva who has got the sukhritam, who has in previous lifetimes performed that pious activities, or some desire to know what this life is all about, such a person, when he is craving for that knowledge, Krishna comes to him and gives him Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Comes to him. Otherwise, it is not possible. That is what it is, says here. That because normally every living entity in this world is affected by his vasanas, his prarabdha karmam, influence of maya, and above all the three modes of nature. This is what an ordinary living entity means. It means all these things, isn't it? Modes of material nature, influence of maya, the illusion, and his own prarabdha karma, what has come with him, and all the propensities, vasanas inside. In this, he is messing around in this world, in one form or the other, whether it is football or whether it is something else. Whatever it is, this is what it is, life is all centered around, isn't it? So for such people, for them to appreciate Bhagavad Gita, or the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is very, very hard. And you couldn't say anything about it because of their, that Sukhrutam is not there, that good fortune hasn't come, that they could understand that there is something higher than all these things in this world. That thought hasn't occurred to them yet. So day after day, they continue their business in their way, and we continue business in our way. That's the difference. So Krishna consciousness means that when we try to understand, Krishna says, inquire about me, come to Bhagavad Gita, start ask, finding out who I am through these vibhutis. Try to find out. That's what this verse is about. Then, in Krishna's appearance, everything was handled very well throughout this time in this world without identifying with anything. That is Krishna's glory. That was Krishna's glory. While stealing the clothes of the gopis on banks of the river Yamuna, or while performing the rasa dance with the gopis, or while fighting the war, when Bhishma or Drona or anybody, doesn't matter who it was, even at that time, while killing his uncle Kamsa, while killing Shishupala, while instructing Arjuna, while instructing Uddhava, the same mind, the same indifferent and relaxed mood in Krishna. Never any other has disturbed Krishna at any time. That's Krishna. So that is the proof that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody can do this. It's not possible. Impossible. Impossible. That modes of powerful modes of nature will catch everyone. Nobody will be. Maya is more powerful, and that will catch. Maya means modes of nature. That Maya will not allow anyone to go beyond her. She will push us down at some point or the other. But Krishna has at no one time. Krishna was, that's as we discussed in the 10th canto, you saw how different demigods comes and falls at Krishna's feet at different times. Agni, fire, Kamadeva, and Varuna, all of them, all the demigods, one after the other, falls down at Krishna's lotus feet for this reason. That to establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, what do we see there? Then, Ahamalma Gudadesha, Sarva Bhudashayastida, Ahamadisha Madhyam Ja, Bhudanam Andamevacha. Bhudanam Andamevacha. Ahamalma Gudadesha, Sarva Bhudashayastida, Ahamadisha Madhyam Ja, Bhudanam Andamevacha. In one verse, Krishna answered the whole question in that particular verse. Arjuna, all you have to understand is this. What does he say? Ahamalma Gudadesha. I am the soul of all the living entities, Krishna says. In other words, the whole creation is nothing but me. That's what Krishna says. Aham alpa guda kesham sarva bhuta shayasthidaham. That I am present in every living entity. Yeah? In the form of that spiritual spark. The spiritual spark in every living entity is me. I am present in everyone, and I am present in everyone as the spiritual spark, Krishna says. And then Krishna says, Ahamadischa Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. I am the beginning, I am the middle, I am the end of it. That's all. Krishna says, very simple. You can understand me now? Krishna says to Arjuna. How Krishna has answered that question. He says, you don't have to know much. It's only me who exists, nothing else. I am present in everyone as the spiritual park. I am present in everybody. And it's only me who is present, nobody else. And then, I am the beginning, In the beginning only I am existed, isn't it? Ahameva samayvagre. If you look at Chalishlogi Bhagavatam, you will find there. It's only me who existed in the beginning. Then he said, Nanyadil sarasal param paschadaham yadidacha yovashishyada sosmyaham. And then Krishna says, at the end only I am left behind. At the end only it's only me left. And in the middle also it's only me who exists. So, that's how Krishna presents about himself. He says to Arjuna, Arjuna, have you understood me now? It's only me who exists. He says to Arjuna. So, this one verse is sufficient answer to that question. But Krishna didn't stop with that. We'll see why Krishna didn't stop with this one verse. Then, in this particular verse, Krishna is trying to pull us towards his greatness of Krishna's position. So that once you reflect on this verse, you will realize that Krishna's position is so different than us, than ours. That Krishna is saying there, the whole creation, it's only me exist in everything. Not only that, Krishna also says that in the beginning, it was only me who existed. And in the end, it's only me who exists. And in the middle also, it's only me who existing. So if one reflects or one think through these words, you will get a grasp of Krishna's greatness. You will get a grasp of Krishna's greatness. How great Krishna is. That nothing beyond than this can exist. That it's ultimately, it is only Krishna who exists. That's what it is saying there. That and Krishna also addressed Arjuna as Gudakesha in that verse. If you notice there, Ahamatma Gudakesha Sarvabhuga Shastida Ahamadisha Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. That Gudakesha word is very significant here. Why it's significant is that Gudakesha means one who has won over sleep, isn't it? One who has won over the sleep. Exactly what it means is, it's not that Arjuna was never sleeping. That's not what it means. Sleep means ignorance. It is in that sense it is to be understood. That one who has got over that ignorance. Sleep means ignorance. One who has crossed over that ignorant state of mind. In other words, Arjuna is now understanding Krishna. That's why Krishna is addressing him as Gudakesha. That you have come over the ignorance. So therefore, you have won over the sleep. In other words, Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarvabhudashastida Aham Adhyancha Madhyancha Bhudanam Andamevacha. So slowly, Krishna is driving us towards His position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many things to come from this verse. For example, Jananam, that means birth and the death. These are the two points in our life, isn't it? Time of birth and time of death. These two things we have no control either, do we? We have no control on these two things, have we? Jananam and Maranam. Birth and death, we have no control. One day we appear in this world from nowhere. We don't know how we arrived here. And then, after a few years of battling here and there, we try to establish a little bit here. Before you know, you're out, gone from here. So, what's normally happening is, when we come here, we have no knowledge why we have come. Crying, we come crying. And then, about 60 or 70 or 80, sometimes even earlier than that, it's all over. And one day we have to go. While going, we look everywhere. Is there anything we can take with us? There is nothing. While looking, we find there is nothing you can take with you. So what to do now? Work 60, 70 years to get all these things. But now, all the beautiful things what we acquired, we leave them and we go. So, neither the beginning nor the end we have any control. It's very clear, isn't it? Doesn't require much explanation in this. A little bit of thought you have to put into, and then, okay, you may have got a bhupa and all the other things, but that's not a guarantee against death, is there? There's no guarantee against death. It's only a guarantee against prolonging your misery a little bit more. You can call it like that. That's the way it's. But whatever it is, the death is there. Death is sure. As sure as death, they say in English, isn't it? As sure as death. So that's clear fact. Similarly, birth also in the same situation. Now, in between this, there is some time for us, isn't it? We have some time. Okay, we'll say let's our time. Unfortunately, what happens is, due to the very high degree of Rajogunam and the high degree of ego, Ahankaram inside, those times we want to establish ourselves here. That desire is very strong. And in that process, a lot of sinful activities is done by the young man or young woman or whoever it is doing it. Huh? A lot of sinful activities he does in that process. Because Rajogunam will drive a person to engage in sinful life. And also, the powerful senses will drive him in that direction. And there is no knowledge either. So you can imagine what the situation is. He has not thought about birth or death at that time. Only what he is thinking is that a few years when I am here, you must make the best use of it, of your life. Isn't it? And this theory is very powerful in this world, that this making the best use of the thing. And once that theory gets into the head, especially in the youth, especially in the early teenage life and early 20s, or you can say like this, oh, it's very hard, very, very hard to change that thinking, to take it away from the mind. The body is strong and challenging anything and everything in this world. With that understanding and then thinking that very soon I will lose my capacity to enjoy, so let me enjoy now. This is also, all these kinds of thoughts are coming in, and the result is that lot of sinful activities in this world. So what has happened in our life? The birth was not pleasant, death is not pleasant, and all the middle sinful life. This is what has come out of this human body. Is it not? This is the result of this human body. Majority of the cases, this is the result of that. And then Krishna is saying there that only by good fortune that one can turn it around. Turn around this life. Because in the youth, to get that thought of taking to Krishna consciousness and to inquire about Krishna is a very valuable thing. That's the only thing that will take that person to a Brahmadi Lokadishanam Udamapa Deva. Bhagavatam says like that. In human body alone, one has the capacity to inquire about Krishna. In no other body it is possible. But ignorance is only in the human body. Animals don't have ignorance. They have got a body like that, and they are not expected to do anything better than that what they are doing. They function in a particular way in this world according to the nature's creation. And that's all expected from them. Nothing more than that. But if the human body is also, which has got a higher capacity to do things and meant for higher inquiry, is only doing that same what the animals are capable of doing, where is the difference? That is why Brahma Bhavaloka Dishanam Udamaba Deva. He has the ability to know the truth, ability to realize the self. That's possible in the human body. That is what Krishna has given to this human body, that ability to realize the self. And if it's not engaging in that, Krishna says you have lost a chance. No matter what enjoyment, sense enjoyment you had in your middle of the life, it is not much different than the birth or the death. You may as well take it that you have not lived, you are dead from beginning. That is the point what Krishna is making here. So, aham atma guna kesha sarva bhudashaya sthidaha. But Krishna says that I am the person. So, if a living entity in a particular body, in a human body, has to be fortunate enough, when Krishna is favorable, the inquiry will go towards Krishna. When Krishna is not favorable, it will go for the sinful life, sinful activities. That's what Krishna is saying. This perception, aham adyascha madhyam cha bhudanam antameva cha, I am the beginning, I am the middle, I am the end of it. We will say like that, isn't it? Beginning, middle and end of the story. We will say like that, isn't it? And that's what Krishna is saying here. I am the beginning, middle and end of the story. So try to understand me in that way, Krishna says to Arjuna. So after hearing that, Krishna says, the vibhuti starts now. Vibhutis are going to start. Why did Krishna expand this now? Because this one verse would have been sufficient for Arjuna to understand Krishna. that this one particular verse is sufficient. But still, Krishna decided to elaborate that. Why? Because in the previous verse, Arjuna asked the question, Keshu Keshu Jabhaveshu, in which form should I see you, Krishna, so that I can appreciate your glories? So, because the question was like that, Krishna decided to elaborate from now on in the several verses, from beginning to, now from on to the, very much the end, Krishna talks about his different vibhudis. Different vibhudis, different opulences. So all these vibhudis you have to see in the background of all what I have spoken today. Otherwise, if you simply read Bhagavad Gita and start thinking Krishna says, I am this, I am this, I am this, I am this, it will become like that only. It won't have that effect on us, what is expected from that. Vibhuti Yogam is such an important chapter, just like Raja Yogam in the previously, that Krishna is now presenting himself, making himself more accessible to Arjuna. That's what's happening now. That from the 9th chapter you have seen, Krishna spoke about bhakti process, and now that bhakti yoga is elaborating it further. He can get closer to me now. That Arjuna, Krishna is allowing Arjuna to get a little bit more closer to him. And in the next chapter, Krishna is exhibiting the universal form, where Arjuna gets completely moved by that form. And in the next chapter, after that, in the 12th chapter, Krishna says, the process I will talk to you, which is Krishna consciousness. And that's the Bhakti Yoga, the 12th chapter. So like this, Krishna has a way of presenting to Arjuna, completely from a spiritual angle, from a spiritual platform, everything is done. A conditioned soul will find it very hard to understand why Bhagavad Gita has been spoken in this way. The reason for that is that Krishna wants Arjuna to get closer to him, to become his devotee. And at the very end of Bhagavad Gita, if you remember, Krishna says, there is only one dharmam in this world, which is surrendering to me. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. What we do is, we think, take that verse and think that, oh, I have understood Bhagavad Gita, everything. And we start preaching on that basis also. But then it won't have any proper depth of understanding. The depth will come when you realize that one cannot surrender to Krishna easily as we think about it. It's not so easy. There are so many things on our way stopping us from doing that. Our prarabdham, our vasanas, maya, and modes of nature, these things are there. And unless one gets over all these things, that surrender will never be complete. Surrender will never be complete. In order to get to that position, Krishna starts from the first, second chapter from Karma Yogam, the Sangha Yogam, Jnana Yogam, he starts from there. And all these 17 chapters is only spoken to get us to that point, to understand how to cross it over, how to cross over all these impediments of karmam, of our ignorance to remove the jnanam, and also the vasanas, and our prarabdham, and even the maya, how one can get over it. Because through knowledge, it will help, it can happen. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. That's why Krishna spoke in 17 long chapters, remain almost 700 verses. Krishna spoke these things in detail. Now, let us go into the vibhudis, Krishna's vibhudis.
Adityanamaham Vishnu Jyotirshamraviram Shuman Marijar Marudamasmi Nakshatranamaham Shashi.
This is the first one.
Adityanamaham Vishnu Jyotirshamraviram Shuman Marijar Marudamasmi Nakshatranamaham Shashi.
Four things Krishna mentions there. Adityanamaham Vishnu. Okay, what is Adityan means?
Adityanamaham Vishnu.
There are, in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find, there are Dvadasha Adityas. There are 12 Adityas in the Bhagavatam. It is explained who they are. The names are mentioned in the 12th canto, you will find their names. Why there are 12 Adityas is, this phenomenon called Aditya. Aditya means the sun. The sun. Every month, the predominating deity of the sun planet changes. Predominant deity of the sun planet is changing. And Aditya is that predominant deity or the expansion of Vishnu in that, Krishna's expansion in that sun planet, who is present there. And out of the 12 Adityas mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam gives their names. Bhagavatam gives their names. the 12 months which is mentioned in the end of 12th canto. Madhu, the first month, the son is Dhadha, that is his name. The son's name is Dhadha. In the Vaishakha month, the son is Aryama. In the Shukra month, the son is Mitra. In the Shuchi month, the son is Varuna. In the Nabho month, son is Indra. In the Bhadrapada month, Surya is Vivaswan. In Tapo month, Surya is Pusha. In Phalgunam, Surya is Parjanya. In Margashirsham, Surya is Amshu. In Pushya, Surya is Bhagan. And Ashwinam, Surya is Toshta. And in Kartika month, Surya is Vishnu. So, in the 12th canto, you will find in the Bhagavatam the names of all the 12 deities of the expansion of Krishna present in the sun planet. It also tells you about the apsaras who are present in each month, who is responsible. There's loads of information like that. The sage who is responsible, the Gandharva is responsible, all their names are mentioned in there. It's a big list, chart mentioned in the 12th canto. So, Krishna is saying there, among all those Adityas, among all that sons in different months, I am Vishnu. Krishna says, I am Vishnu. Adityanam aham Vishnu, Jyotisham Raviram Shuman, Marijar Maridamasmi, Nakshatranam aham Shashi. Why did Krishna says like this? Adityanam aham Vishnu. Now, this you have to see in connection with the sun planet itself. Sun planet itself. Actually, in this world, sun and the moon are two important entities discussed in Bhagavad Gita and given a lot of importance. I don't know whether you have noticed that. These two, sun and the moon, are given a lot of importance in the Bhagavad Gita. When one wants to understand Krishna, wants to understand God, first thing Krishna says is not that you should go to the temple first. Temple, you won't understand Krishna straight away. What's Krishna? That is one of the mistakes we all make in the beginning. Especially in the modern days when everyone is so preoccupied with their livelihood and material comforts, it's very little time one has to think about understanding God properly. He just wants to make it as a package he wants. And that package is, he'll come to temple and we'll force our children also to pay obeisances now. Push his head onto the floor. Poor child, he hasn't got any grasp of what he is doing, what for he is doing this. Because he has not been told properly things. How Krishna should be seen first before going to the temple. So therefore, Krishna's manifestations in this world are there for us to look at. And that is what we should see first. That's what we should see. When we see the sun planet, Krishna says, see me there. This is the first thing one has to see. Krishna's present, Ishwara is present, that is Krishna's present in this world, directly in front of us. Of course, where sun also you can't see sometimes. What can you do? Some places in this world, sun never comes. So therefore, that question also, one vibhuti you can write off from there. So, this is the problem. But when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Krishna didn't ask Arjuna, come to the temple and first see me there. No. First you start seeing Krishna in this way. Where Krishna is present in this world, in front of us. Only thing is, we have to change our way of looking at things. We should not start looking at sun planet and thinking, when is he going to run out of steam? Or when is the hydrogen going to run out? If this mood, if you start looking at sun planet, nothing will happen. But Krishna is telling us, if when you see the sun planet, see me there. See that it's me who is present in that. That I am present there. And that is why you are getting this light, whole light, throughout the year. One bulb in the whole creation. There's just one bulb in the whole universe. And then one bulb is adequate to give enough light for the whole world. This is Krishna's creation. Think it in that way, Krishna says. Think like that. See my opulence there. That I am only capable of doing this. No one else can do it. With one bulb, it's not even an energy-saving bulb like what we have. It's a bulb, you don't have to pay anything for it, it comes free. Nobody will send you an invoice at the end of the month. And and it's freely available from Krishna's store. And Krishna gives this to us, and still we take that for granted. Whereas what Pavarjan gives us, little light, that for us we will pay. But for that, what Krishna gives us, no payment. So you can see that Krishna's energies are working in this world. Only thing is, our eyes are not able to recognize it. That's the problem. The sun planet is giving us this vision to see things. And Krishna says, first thing, teach the children to see sun planet as Krishna's representative in this world. This is how the Vibhuti Yogam starts first. When all the Vibhuti Yogam is understood, then come to the temple and see Krishna there as personal relationship with Krishna builds up from then on. With the background of Vibhuti is behind, nobody can give up serving Krishna. Nobody can stay away from Krishna. And with the proper training of the mind and ability to understand through Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, Krishna's position, only for that purpose Krishna has presented these Vibhutis to us. Out of all the Vibhutis that is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, all of them we won't be able to understand. We won't be able to understand. They all have their own reasons for that. Many of them are in front of our eyes. We can recognize them and see them and appreciate them. We can do that. Many of them. Many of them we won't understand that. Many of them through explanation we will be able to appreciate them. Those who have studied Bhagavadam or Ramayanam, they will be able to understand them. So like this, Krishna has classified the Vibhutis into different categories. Out of that, most important ones are those Vibhutis who are right in front of us and start seeing them and appreciating Krishna in them, first thing to do. Not to think that Krishna is only in the temple and there only I'll meet Krishna, everywhere else Krishna doesn't exist. No, that's not the goal. First thing is to understand that when you see the sun in the morning, why in the Vedic system the sun has been given such an important role, as that in the olden days, Brahmanas, some of them, 1,000 times they'll pay their obeisances to the sun. Surya Namaskaram was performed. Why? Why did they do that? Because in the sun planet, they were seeing Krishna's presence there. Directly in front of you, somebody telling you, I am here. And we ignore that. We'll go somewhere else looking for him. Isn't it? So, the sun is important from this point of view, that in sun, one starts seeing Krishna in the beginning. Krishna's presence in this world is sun. That Surya Narayana, he is called. When people chant the Gayatri Mantra, what do they chant? Tat saviduru varenyam bhargo devasya dhimahi diyo yoina prajodayat. That saviduru varenyam, that who is manifesting in the sun planet, that supreme personality, give me the good intelligence so that I can come to you. This is the prayers of the Gayatri Mantra. He is saying this. So through Gayatri, you are worshipping Krishna there in that position in the sun planet. So paying your obeisances to sun, exactly that is what we are doing. So the ancient times, people had this kind of understanding of life. They were able to see these things and appreciate them. Modern lifestyle don't allow all these things, because we will get up in the dark, then we get into the office in the dark, and then when we come out it is dark. So where is the time to think about all these things? This is the change of life, that is what has happened. Therefore, all Vibhutis of Krishna also remains as a mystery for us. That's what Krishna is saying there. That Adityanam Aham Vishnu Jyotisham Raviram Shuman Marijar Marudam Asmi Nakshatranam Aham Shashi. Then, Krishna is saying here that worshipping sun is not, as I mentioned, it's not a new thing. It's a part of the Vedic methods of worship, different processes in the Vedic system, worship of Ganesh, worship of sun, worship of Lord Shiva, Sri Parvati and Vishnu, all these are part of the Vedic system of worship. So there, worship of sun god is done. Why? Because it's Krishna's one of those Vibhutis present there. It is worshipped in that form. Krishna's Vibhuti is present there. Therefore he is worshipped in that. And why did all this say? Because Arjuna asked this question, Keshu Keshu Jabhaveshu, in which form should I worship you? It is an answer to that. That the importance of sun, the importance of sun, every one of us can appreciate, isn't it? And not only that, if we see Krishna in all these different objects which we see every day, isn't it? Sun, moon, sea, and so many things like that. People who are living near the sea, or people go to the seaside, isn't it? So at that time, if we have trained our mind to think that this is Krishna, Krishna is present there, Krishna is this sea, Krishna is the sun, Krishna is the moon. In this way, if one starts seeing who is always present in this world, one will start appreciating Krishna from there. That is how the appreciation begins. Parents take their children to seashore, don't they? Where do they go? They go to sometimes to Brighton or to Skegness or this thing. But when they go there, there is no discussion about sea. The discussion is mostly about how to make the sandcastles and how to enjoy, have the picnic, drive home after the Easter holidays. And looked at the sea, never this thought once went through the head that that's Krishna there right in front of you, in the form of that sea in front of you. But that thought never occurred. Why? Because mind was not ready for it. Mind was more absorbed in the much more important things of the family. So, this is what happens. But Krishna is saying that if a mind is like that, what can I do about it? I'm right in front of you standing there. You don't want to even recognize me. You are busy with so many of your projects, whatever that is. So how you will understand me? And therefore, when you read Bhagavad Gita, all these things remains as a mystery. Particularly sea and the sun. First, the parents have to take their children to the sea and not to the temple. And that's where they will realize that what a vastness of ocean. That greatness of ocean. The greatness of ocean. And seeing that, the children will feel from there that there is something superior to what it will make us feel humble and also also make us realize our limitations, how small we are in relationship with the vastness of the sea. Sea is Krishna, sun is Krishna, moon is Krishna. These are all in front of us, every moment teaching us lessons. But only thing is, we need that intelligence to understand Krishna. But this is the start. The starting process is from here. Going to this, and when we see them, recognizing them as Krishna. There it begins. The spiritual knowledge and spiritual life begins at that point. And when one starts training up in this way, first of all we have to train ourselves in that way, and then we have to train the children also in the same way. And when it is trained up like that, understanding of Krishna changes in a person. Otherwise, if you just bring the children to the temple and tell them that you sing this song, pay your obeisances, and take prasadam, and don't shout one word, anything. Don't ask any questions. If you ask any questions, no, you're not supposed to ask that question. Like this, it will carry on. What's the use at the end? No, Bhagavad Gita is meant for these things, to make us realize that Krishna is there in front of us. We haven't given time for Bhagavad Gita. That is our biggest problem. We have given time for everything. Arsenal's football match, we have time. We have time for everything else. We have to fit it in all that in. In that, we have to fit in Bhagavad Gita also. And therefore, it's problem. If you want to understand Krishna, you have to give time for Krishna. So, Bhagavad Gita is saying here, Adityanam aham Vishnu, Jyotisham raviram shuman, Marijar marudam asmi, Nakshatranam aham Shashi. Then, Vedavyasa Maharshi, he has written what is known as Surya Mandala Ashtakam. There is a famous song Vedavyasa has compiled about glorifying the sun. Because when sun is present here, the glories of the sun, Vedavyasa could not eliminate. Because it is Krishna's presence here. How can Vedavyasa ignore that? So when he wrote Surya Mandala Ashtakam, it's a famous song. He mentions about Surya, sun's position in this world. And remember, in Bhagavad Gita, what else Krishna has done? If you remember in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, what did Krishna say? Imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam vaivasvan manave praha manur ikshaguve bravil that when Krishna wanted to speak Karma Yogam first time, whom did Krishna talk to? He spoke to the Vaivaswan, to the sun god. He spoke to Vaivaswan, isn't it? He spoke to Vaivaswan. So in other words, Krishna has decided that sun has got the capacity to understand this, and through him let this knowledge stay in this world. So I spoke to Vaivaswan, Krishna says, and Vaivaswan spoke to Manu, Manu to Ichvaku, Ichvaku, and further onwards in the solar dynasty the knowledge came through. So there Krishna recognized the position of the sun. There itself Krishna recognized the position of the sun. So Imam Vivasude Yogam, that there itself Krishna says that it was instructed to Krishna from then onwards. Then so among all the planets in the illumination, which are illuminating, Krishna says, I am the sun planet. I am the sun planet. So, Adityanam Aham Vishnu, Jyotisham Raviram Shuman, Marichar Marudam Asmi, Nakshatranam Aham Shashi. That the sun and moon, they have a direct relationship with us, isn't it? For example, when you have a good sunlight, sun shining all the time, that's something you can see the people's face straight away in the summertime. How it is. 12, 14 hours of sunlight and a sunny day, warm day. People's mind is changes. Where did this change come? Where did that change come? That ability Krishna has given to the sun to change us like that. How much we are controlled by sun, you can see from that. Krishna has given this ability to sun. But the interesting thing about the sun is, he is the best example for Karma Yoga. Never once moans about anything. Every morning comes, does his business, goes. Day after day after day, unaffected by anything. And one day, when sun's planet, the sun predominating deity, his business is over, Krishna says he comes back to the spiritual world. So like this, Krishna has authorized and authenticated certain personalities in the functioning of this universe. And some of those personalities are present in front of us, from whom we can get that inspiration to understand Krishna. And sun is one among them. Exactly like the sun, the other personality is the moon. Isn't it? The moon is exactly the same role moon has in the Bhagavad Gita. In one point, somewhere later on, I think in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the moon planet. What does moon does for us? Somewhere else you will see that mentioned. That I think it is in the 14th or 13th chapter. One second. If you look in the 15th chapter, chapter 15, verse 13, what does Krishna say about the moon? Gama Vishaya Bhutani Darayam Yahamojasa Pushnami Jaushadi Sarva Somo Bhutva Rasal Magaha. Then he says Somo Bhutva Rasal Magaha. The vegetables, particularly the vegetables and plants, when they grow and the fruits are grown in the trees, where did that rasam comes, the taste for the fruit? It comes from the moon. You see? It comes from the moon. That's what Krishna is saying there. We have no alternative except to accept that. What Krishna says, Gama Vishaja Bhudani Dharayam Yahamo Jasa Pushnami Jaushadi Sarva Somo Bhutva Rasal Magam. That because that life in this, when we eat this food, when we eat the fruits or the different grains or whatever it is, we think it is the vitamins and all that is keeping us, isn't it? That's keeping us. But actually Krishna says no, that ojasa means that the energy for living is given by the moon to these plants and the grains and all the other vegetables, everything, they get it from the moon. Or rasam it is called, the aushadhi. Aushadhi means also the plants, medicines, herbs, everything. All of them get their potency from the moon.
That is why moonlight, moon is important. Moon is important. Sun and the moon sustain us in this world. They sustain us in this world. But we don't give much value to them. We take it for granted, isn't it? Sun and the moon, or they'll come and they'll go. What does it matter to me? That's us. But Shastra is saying, Krishna is saying there, I am present in this world in the form of sun and the moon, and they give you all what is necessary for your sustaining life in this world. And that they are maintaining us. They are maintaining us in virtually that way. Moon's role is so powerful that you will see in the Shastra mentioned that it has such a direct impact on your mind that if sometimes if your mind is disturbed or anything, they suggest that you should look at the moon for some time to give you that extra strength needed for relieving that distress from the mind. Moon can bring that change in a person's mood. It has got that capacity. So like this, moon and sun are glorified in the Bhagavad Gita. For one reason, why? Because they are both Krishna's vibhudis. They are Krishna's vibhudis. That is the reason why it's spoken.
Adityanamaham Vishnu Jyotisham Raviram Shuman Marijar Marudamasmi Nakshatranamaham Shashim.
Now, out of all the planets, I am the sun. And among all the stars, I am the moon, Krishna says. Similarly, among all the Maruts. Maruts, if you remember, in the sixth canto we discussed in the Bhagavatam, who Maruts are. Marudevas. There were 49 pieces came out from inside with Indra, from Dididevi's stomach. If you remember, Dididevi's stomach was cut open, Indra came out with 49 personalities. They are the Maruts. Among them, Marichi, Krishna says, I am that. So, like this, we'll continue. We'll continue next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.